Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, reincarnation. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. The new psychology must be built upon the premise that this one life is not an individual's sole opportunity to achieve integration and eventual perfection. When the great law of rebirth is accepted, it will be found to be a major releasing agent in any moment of crisis or any psychological problem. What does Alice Bailey mean that reincarnation is a major releasing agent?
It's kind of mysterious, isn't it, to put it in those terms? I suppose each of us might interpret that a little differently. To me, it suggests a freeing up of the imagination to see the purpose behind a crisis or a problem that we're wrestling with. If you think of reincarnation as the continuity of life from one incarnation, one personality, one body, one set of circumstances to another over a vast period of time, I think it opens up a sense of possibilities that if you don't master something in the here and now, you have another chance later. If you don't resolve something now, there will be opportunities in the future. It also suggests that you do eventually have to face a problem, and you do have to confront a crisis and not run away from it, because obviously if life is ongoing, these crises and problems are there for us because we've created these puzzles, and they're for us to unknot, to solve.
And to solve as soon as one can, because that same law, the law of rebirth that allows us to, or impedes us, makes us come back life after life, also tends to become an excuse to not to do anything.
Yes.
Say, well, I'll leave it for my next life to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that may be part of the problem in the Orient.
Mm-hmm.
They have known about this law of rebirth for centuries, and it may tend to be a little kind of soporific.
Yeah, it can induce a kind of passivity, I suppose, in certain temperaments, that it's my fate, I have been dealt a bad deck of cards, there's nothing I can do about it, I'll just allow life to unfold because it's all ordained by higher authorities and I have no say. To me, that's not a very creative view of life at all. On the other hand, I've never understood why the idea of reincarnation would give somebody the idea that they could put things off till tomorrow. I guess I'm not a very good postponer. There are certain temperaments, maybe mine's one of them, that realizes if you have to eventually take care of something, attend to something, why not do it now and get it over with? I always have thought dessert coming at the end of the meal is very sensible because you have to eat your way through the things you don't especially like, and then you get the treat. So why postpone something that has to be resolved? Anyway, there is that rather passive element. On the other hand, it's also a very creative view of life, a creative approach mm-hmm. to crises and problems.
Yes, if it's understood that way, that it allows one to... gives one time to really work at the redemptive process, the perfecting process, and it all doesn't have to be accomplished in one lifetime. It's impossible to accomplish it all in one lifetime. There is karma to pay off. I mean, our actions in one life may lead to some kind of retribution necessary in the next life, and we have to meet up with these same souls again and work things out and bring things back into balance. So it's good that way. Mm-hmm. And it should help psychologically for those who may need that kind of law brought to their attention.
I think I've read that surveys taken of Americans have found that some 67% of the population believes in reincarnation. I find that astonishing because it's not one of the tenets of Christianity, nor I think of Judaism. Maybe it's an intuitive recognition on people's part, the sense that there's more to life than this. There's more to life than what we see immediately in front of us, and perhaps a sense that there's a lot of experience behind us. I find that very strengthening, the realization that as bad as certain problems in this life might be for some of us, we can remember that we've probably solved even greater problems and difficulties in the past. It gives you a sense of being a kind of a warrior. A fighter, one who has met many, many challenges that are no longer part of the memory bank, but the awareness of that long past behind us should give us a sense that, as the old bromide is, that God never gives us a burden too great to bear.
And a lot of the problems that we seem to encounter in this life may, in fact, be brought over from the previous lifetime experience, and that is a way to work things out, to bring things back into balance. We may bring old fears with us, old phobias that crop up later on in this lifetime, and they're there for a reason. They have to be worked out.
We tend to think of the birth of a baby as the beginning of a new life. And I think most of us view an infant as kind of a tabula rasa, a blank slate on which we will engrave all that we hope to instill into that child's character and talents. But in fact, if we accept the doctrine of reincarnation, then the birth of a baby is in fact the return of an individual with a great deal of experience and some accomplishment, probably many mistakes and errors, behind it, and that individual is picking up a thread and continuing an unfolding process that was begun long, long ago. So each life that a baby begins is not only a recapitulation of past life experience, but it's an assuming of old obligations, old debts, old responsibilities, recovering old relationships, some happy, some sad, and it's an opportunity for what Alice Bailey calls restitution, putting things right, I suppose. If we thought of our lifetime, whatever it is now, as our opportunity in the present to put things right, I wonder how each of us would interpret that, using our imagination and our sense of our circumstances. We might gain some insight into why why things are the way they are, why people are the way they are, why the people closest to us are of the sort they are. These are old relationships, old patterns.
And I think it's important to realize, too, that even though we tend to look at reincarnation on an individual basis, one person in one lifetime, it's really, if they think about it, and it relates to what you just said, that it's kind of a group at work, a group plan at work, because we come back maybe as a group to correct, make all corrections, and correct and bring things back into balance. And that involves more than just one person. It involves a whole group of people coming back to... So we work with these same souls again, and that's what you have to realize in this lifetime, that if you've wronged somebody, then you may come back in the next life and have to face them again.
Well, if the Eastern misunderstanding of reincarnation is that it leads to passivity, I suppose the Western misunderstanding of reincarnation is too selfish and self-centered a view of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all this silly business of people believing they were a prince or a queen or a famous person in their past lifetime probably comes from. And you look at them and they're perfectly ordinary people. And it defies imagination to think that they were some great entity in the past when they don't seem to show any signs of that greatness now. It's quite self-centered, the emphasis on individuality and on accomplishment that is given the standard view of reincarnation. As you say, it's really a group process and an unfoldment of relationships. If we viewed it as a pattern of relationships that's picked up life after life for the purpose of learning how to love, how to relate, it would take on quite a different cast, don't you think?
Well, certainly, and that gets back to the very purpose of what our purpose is in the world. And it's not our individual purpose so much as it is what the soul's purpose is intending, what the soul is trying to work out, because that's essentially who we are. We are that soul that is individualized in a particular physical body and personality, but behind that is the intention of the soul, what its plans are.
And its plans aren't at all focused on material circumstances, as is so often thought. It's focused on a psychological element, really.
Yeah. And I think this whole concept needs to be discussed a lot more and understood better from a deeper perspective. And to get past this, the frivolousness of who I was or what was I in the previous lifetime, because that's really totally secondary to what we should be doing in the world according to what the soul has in mind.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today, reincarnation. We have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company. And that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books by Alice Bailey. And just a little blurb about this book that gives you the essence of it. The soul, the higher self, or individuality, is the guiding force within every human being. Through the law of rebirth or reincarnation, the soul returns to manifestation life after life, for purposes of service to the plan. Of course, when you purchase this book at the discount that we have today, you're exploring that topic about the soul and reincarnation in a deep manner. Now, the sale comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so the book today is available for $16. So if you want to take advantage of this offer, please send a check or money order, $16, to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 100-05. That's Luce's Publishing. Luce's is L-U-C-I-S. Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And read a little notation saying that you heard about the offer on the program Inner Sight, which you're listening to right now. Also, if you'd like to reach us for any reason, you can give us a call at our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS, once again, LUCIS. We have a website, and if you'd like to, you can find out a lot of information about LUCIS Trust on the website. Website is www.lucistrust.org, and in addition to all the information that you can find out about us, you can look into our previously archived library of radio shows. So that might be of interest to you. If you miss a show, you can look into our website and listen to a show that perhaps you missed on a particular Sunday. So once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. Also, in addition to that, I might add to that that the theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, so you can see in advance what the next Sunday's program will be. Also, we appreciate your donations. Your donations, both large and small, are utilized to keep this show on the air. We love to do this show, but Inner Sight requires your donations, and without those, we can't possibly continue. So if you'd like to send us a donation to support this show and the airing of this show, send that donation to LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Now, I was thinking as you were both talking about reincarnation that of course, there are many joys in life, but where does it end? Do we just go through millions of lifetimes and keep on evolving? Hopefully, we continue to evolve spiritually and not go backwards as far as our behavior and the type of person that we are and what we're manifesting. But where does it all end?
We don't know, but the Ageless Wisdom does say that there is an end to having to return to birth and the inhabiting of a physical vehicle. That's, I think, literally the meaning of reincarnation, return to the physical body. So it's a process that involves the soul submitting to manifestation through a series of bodies, physical, emotional, and mental, for the purpose of working out its expression, its soul essence on earth. And as I understand it, when it has achieved a true transparency between its father aspect, pure spirit, and its manifestation in form as a human being, when there is an absolute transparency and a complete embodiment of the divine origin, then there's no further need to return. So often people who have just become interested in the spiritual life say they're hoping to work everything out so they won't have to return. And I always think to myself, ha, you have another think coming. Because
there's no way out.
No way out, and you have just begun. You know, you're just beginning to wake up to the fact that there is a repetitive process to this whole learning experience called life on Earth, and you have no idea how much work is ahead of you. How can you possibly believe you would resolve everything and clear your slate in one lifetime? It's also quite self-indulgent when you think about it, because we're told in the writings of Alice Bailey that the soul wills to return for the purpose of service. Again, the true human attitude is, what's in it for me? And the person says, well, I don't much like living here on Earth because things are really tough, so I hope I won't have to come back. That's quite selfish when you think that the soul returns to serve the plan. The whole orientation of the soul is sacrificial. What can I give to the larger life? Not, what can I get for myself? What can I give? That should open up the horizons in one's view of life.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I think that's kind of, that perspective turns the whole perspective around from the individual selfish concern and for who was I in the person in the previous life.
A boring, probably very mediocre person.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's probably a good thing we don't know or don't remember too much about previous life, because we'd be so appalled by how ordinary we were,
mm-hmm.
and or how stupid we were. And so, I mean, it's just as well we don't know. And I think that memory of what we were in the previous life is deliberately blocked off so that we don't have too much memory. Some people do have memories of previous existences. But
why would you want to recapture? Just think about living a certain number of years in this incarnation and how much you remember that you probably regret. Do you want to regret scads of lifetimes?
Well, that's the thing. It would be so crushing, I think, if you really knew what you were and who you were and all the bad things you did in previous lifetimes. And the reason you're here now is to kind of bring it all back into balance and get it all behind you and move on. And the perspective of the soul, if you can turn it around and see it from the perspective of the soul, because that's who you are, really. That's why you're in this world in the first place. As a soul, you've come in for the purpose of sacrifice and service to, what it says, those lesser lives. You are here to serve those lesser lives, and by that we mean the lives, the atomic lives, the molecules in your own body. You are the God to those lives, and it's to your responsibility to serve those lives as well and to help them, to lift them up and redeem and purify.
I don't think we can talk about reincarnation without talking about death and the purpose of death, because obviously they go together. The writings of Alice Bailey say that there is a process that every person goes through after the death of the physical body and before return in another lifetime. And it's quite fascinating what is said about it in the Theosophical and Alice Bailey writings. She says that immediately after death, the individual, even the average person, we're not talking about some saint, but even just an average human being, becomes consciously aware of himself. As you're saying, he becomes aware once again, oh yes, I am the soul. We are so rooted in our physical body and our personality that we forget who we really are. But after the release of the physical body, we remember we are really the soul. We become aware of ourselves. And this is possible, she says, because we're freed of the brain aspect. With the death of the body, we no longer have to rely upon the brain to bring through these realizations. And so there's a more direct conduit, I guess. And she said that even for the lowliest, most undeveloped human being, at that point, there's a moment of complete soul contact where the soul simply acknowledges the end of that particular incarnation. And the individual sees the whole experience of that incarnation spread out before him like a map. And at that point, it's said that the individual isolates three major conditioning factors in the life that has just passed, because these three factors hold the keys to his future. And they're called seeds, Alice Bailey says. Seed one, she says, determines the nature of the physical environment and thus the conditions that will provide the needed field of contact, the environment, the physical body, the set of physical circumstances. The significance of that is identified. Seed two determines the quality of the etheric or vital body through which one or more of the seven ray forces can pass. And this will determine which of the seven centers or chakras will be most active in the next incarnation. Maybe an individual will realize I need to develop my heart, or another individual will realize I need to develop my throat center, or whatever. And seed three, she says, gives the key to the emotional body. and this brings the individual again into relation with those that he had previously loved. Or we could say previously hated, because wherever there is hatred or a deep grudge against someone, there's a bond. And so we all have to think very hard about the people whom we most love or most loathe, because those will be our group in the future. We are bound to them until we can release them.
And it's, yes, it's interesting, those three stages that you mentioned, because this forms the basis for the next lifetime. And it gives the where the incarnation will take place, and the family or the tribe, and the physical location, and the emotional stage, and the mental stage. And all of this is planned out in ahead of time by the soul before it undergoes the next life. So it's a very involved process that the soul goes through.
It's one that I suppose we could begin to prepare for now by thinking, asking ourselves, what one factor in my emotional makeup would I change? Or what aspect of my mind would I most like to develop in the future? Or what factor in my physical nature, in the way I handle my body and the way it uses energy and force, would I change in the future? Those are what we carry over into the future, and all the rest is forgotten. It's all left behind as not really all that significant.
And that forms the basis as the seeds for the next lifetime. And in fact, the soul may plan two or three or a whole set of lifetimes ahead.
Like a schedule? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to feel very tired.
So, well, the soul never tires. So it just keeps coming to birth, life after life.
There's a wonderful Chinese saying that says, in effect, if you don't change direction, you'll end up where you're going. Maybe that's something we could all think about concluding our discussion.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Luce's Publishing Company. And that's the book, the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey, and you'll be able to explore the topic that we spoke about today, reincarnation, in that book. The special offer is $16. Send us a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.